Welcome to the Tap Room exclusive. This is our final feature on Catawba Island Brewing Company. I'm here with with Lou. I keep calling you Eric because I didn't know when we were emailing whether to call you Lou or Eric because we never met. So I just went with Eric because I was like, I don't know the guy, so I'll just go with Eric. Lou, Matt, and Mike, thank you guys for being here. I appreciate it. We are now talking about the Wall IPA. I had this brought to me. My niece lives down the street. She told me about you guys. That's how you guys got on my radar. And she brought, for Christmas, she brought me four growlers from you guys. It was the Wall IPA. I think it was Cold Creek. I had the Rennie's Pub Ale. Or maybe she only brought me three. I can't remember. She brought me a lot of growlers of beer. And this was one of them. And this was a standout for me. I love the Rennie's Pub Ale, too, by the way. That one was fantastic. Oh, yeah. I love that style. But the Wall IPA was one of my absolute favorites that she brought me. What went into making this beer? What was the inspiration behind just doing a classic IPA?
So I love talking about this beer because this beer is kind of my baby. Okay. I took over as a head brewer about 4 years ago. I think it was about 4 years ago. Three and a half, 4 years ago. And one of my first tasks was that that's when session IPAs were a big thing. Mm-hmm. They were just everywhere. So I was tasked to do a sessionable IPA. And I brewed it several times. It ranged anywhere from 3.5% up to 6%.
Sessionable, but not session.
Sessionable, yeah. So it was a session IPAs then. It's turned into a sessionable now, a crushable now at 5.5%.
Session-ish.
Session-ish, yeah. It depends on what kind of session you're doing. I brewed it several times on the small system, and it was the first recipe that I had come up with that actually went into production, and it's very good beer ever since. Just as recent as a couple years ago, we started to dry hop it with Cascade, and that really took it to the next level and has been crushing it ever since.
What was the what's the profile? I'm getting a little bit of pine on it. Is that am I right on that?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's like a resiny pine.
Resiny pine-ish.
Very citrus, very grapefruit is
I'm getting grapefruit.
Just that overall impression of just very grapefruit. As far as IPAs, this is one of our higher IBU, like a little bit more of a drier, mm-hmm. like kind of a taste to it. It finishes out pretty low. Citrus, grapefruit, all that fun IPA stuff.
The big thing that really sold me on this, on Wall IPA, was that we kept it below 6%, 5.5%, mm-hmm. so you can drink a couple of them, remember what you were doing, you know, important things like that.
Yeah, tie up
and the boat. yeah, you can still tie off the boat. You don't have to worry about falling off it, trying to clean it or nothing. You can, but at 5.5%, it's still malty. You mm-hmm. still, it still tastes like a 6-7% IPA, but you just, but you can have one more of them.
Yeah.
You know, it's great. That was the big thing behind it that I really challenged Matt to do and that he ran with on the first time. And it's, you know, we've been able to keep that and then really dial in the hop bill over the last, about a year or so it took to really have it totally dialed in. But it's held up to everything we've wanted it to.
Now, did you set out to have it be this pine, resin, grapefruit profile? Is that something that you wanted?
Yeah. Yeah, so that's something I wanted.
Is that a profile that you like in your IPAs? You
absolutely.
Like the pine
yep.
and all that? My dad loves pine IPAs, man. He drank pretty much the whole growler of this.
So especially for a lot of the, like, certain beers from, like, say, Fatheads. And mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of Two Hearted Ale.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was definitely inspired by that, and but I also wanted to make a sessionable IPA that you could drink, that still was very full flavor, a light to medium mouthfeel, and that malt bill definitely kind of brings that up. There's some honey malt in there that kind of it doesn't really stand out as honey as much as it stands out as bready and just very full. And
I think does that help smooth it out a little bit, do you think, that little bit of honey?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, because I've had the Hop Slam before from Bell's. Yeah. You know, like the honey in that really does a good job of smoothing it and
smoothing it out.
And I just didn't know how with you doing it in your process if it was the same, basically the same effect.
So just like anybody else who drinks IPAs, that's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
So it's a double IPA, so it's right. definitely a lot more sweeter than it is, you know, bitter. And that honey, the actual honey that they use, as opposed to me using a honey malt, definitely keeps a lot of those more complex sugars around, so it kind of coats your mouth, as opposed to just that honey flavor, that mm-hmm. bready honey flavor that the malt actually gives to you. It does finish out a little dry, so it's you're still drinking an IPA.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I like the slight dry finish to it. Mm-hmm.
Just kind of cleans up after each sip.
Yeah, you know, like I said, with all your guys' beer, you know, the balance on it, the complexity, you know, there's a lot of good stuff here. You guys make fantastic beer. I love this stuff.
So this is one of Lou's favorite beers, right, Lou?
Oh,
absolutely!
It's one of yours. What do you like about it, Lou?
I mean, I'm just I'm a beer drinker, so it's lower ABV, so you can have, you know, enough of them. I love IPAs. Funny story about this beer: it used to be dry hopped, and you know, me being the sales guy, I like consistency. Uh-huh. So I show up at work one day, and Matt says, "I'm changing the wall IPA." I'm like, "No, you're not." He's like, "Yeah, I am. Dry hopping." I'm like, "You know, everybody likes this consistent. You know, we already sell a ton of it. Everybody already likes it, so." We let him dry hop the next batch, and I tasted it, and I was like, you're absolutely right. We're dry hopping it from now on.
It was not the next batch. Yeah. I fought tooth and nail for months to try to dry hop that.
Well, like once you got it, yeah, then it was in.
I finally convinced you, yeah.
I would have loved to have been a fly on those on a wall during those arguments.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they can get rowdy.
Well, when you're passionate about something, you know, that's what happens, you know. You almost want that in a way.
Right. And the void that was filled by dry hopping, the flavor was there. It tasted great, but you didn't get an aroma. You smelled it, and you wondered if it really was an IPA.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as we dry hopped it, it brought out the aroma that we thought should have been there. And just coated it with more hops too. Yeah. So I mean, it's you take a whiff of it and you know right away that it's a hoppy dry hopped IPA.
Oh, absolutely. What are the aromas like? Is it pine and dank aromas there? My nose doesn't always work the best, so which is a terrible component for tasting beer. I get that, but sometimes I get a little too. I can't quite discern with my nose yet.
Yeah, that's one thing we hear a lot. Is it's a really danky smell. beyond that, yeah, I get a little bit of citrus, a lot of pine, and the. I don't know if it's the breadiness from the honey malt I'm tasting or I'm smelling or something. There's some sort of a breadiness you get off the nose too.
Absolutely. Once people kind of say stuff, I'm like, okay, that's what that is. I can't put the smells into words yet necessarily. Right. Like I said, I'm still new to necessarily breaking down flavors and stuff like that. So that's a little bit more what this show is for me in a way, is to help build that up while I learn about the process and everything and the future the features and how to really make it.
I was talking about a beer with a friend of mine a couple of years ago, and I kept trying to explain a beer, and I wasn't getting anywhere, and she stopped me and said, hold on. He said, the best advice I've ever got for explaining beer is say what you think. If you taste burnt pickle, tell me you taste burnt pickles.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really stuck with me. It's just,
it
may be an obscure word. It may be...
or an obscure flavor.
It may be totally off the... not make any sense, but at least you're getting... a little closer to what you're tasting or think you're tasting.
And that's always been my thing, is I'm always afraid to say something that's wrong.
Right.
It's like,
right,
yeah, I'm getting that burnt pickle. That's not in there. That's not in that beer. Like, I don't know where he's getting that flavor from. I almost don't want to insult people. You know, that's more what my...
It reminds me of Barbie doll hair. How do you know what that is?
I'm more curious as to how you tasted that than anything. But yeah, you said 5.5% ABV, you got 65 IBU, so it's nice. Nice and got that nice little bitterness to it as well, full of flavor. What are you eating with this? If you wanted to eat with your beer.
So the easy go to is fish. You know, any hoppy beer is great with fish. Beyond that, the breadiness of it makes. We've done actually a few beer dinners with a sweeter pork with the IPA. It's actually been really
herbally.
Good. Right.
Earthy flavored anything.
Yeah.
So definitely cheese. So
I said in an earlier episode that I don't really care to eat and drink at the same time, but something that I definitely like to do with this and other IPAs is to have like different kinds of cheeses. It's nice to be in this area and to have that kind of selection of good cheeses that you can kind of pair it with too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
And that's something that a lot of people don't necessarily think of when pairing with beer is just doing cheese.
Yeah.
And having done it a few times, it pairs really well. You get a nice good combination of cheese and beer that you're good.
Right. Yeah. And again, back to it's, you know, all that, the fattiness in the cheese, it really, really brings out all the flavors.
Yeah. Would you go with more of a stronger cheese or like something? Yeah. Like a sharp or something, something with full flavor.
Right. And it helps, you know, we've got, a Cheese Haven or the Cheese Haven right down the street.
Yeah, absolutely.
There was, out and about at, you know, beer events and, you know, through my travels and everything, you know, people ask you, you know, oh, you're from Port Clinton, you know, I was there, Cheese Haven. That's it. There's a lake there's a too, but there, yeah. I'm glad you recognize something.
They didn't notice the lake.
Right. Yeah, exactly. No, exactly. But it seems to be a staple that, you know, people driving by will go out of their way to make sure they stop at the Cheese Haven down the street. So.
Well, now they're stopping at Catawba Island Brewing
that's
Company.
That's right.
So there's that, you know, and that's really cool. What else did you want to get out about the Wall IPA before
Wall IPA
we head out?
Is another one of the beers that we do can. It's been I think this will be its third year we've canned it. So we finally have our own canning line and are doing a lot more of it this year.
That's awesome. You guys went out and got your own canning line now instead of doing a.
Yeah.
What were you, was it like a mobile unit?
Yeah,
type
we were
thing
doing
before?
The mobile canning for a while, and then we had the opportunity to get our hands on this and dove on it. So.
Yeah, when you get an opportunity, you can't pass it up in this industry. You know what I mean?
That's right.
And
that's
canning, right. You know, like we were talking about earlier, especially in this area, with the boating culture that's here.
Exactly.
Cans, you gotta go cans. You'd be cutting yourself off by going bottles. You know
oh
what
yeah,
I mean?
You know a solid fifth of the people that are in town are staying in the summer are staying on their boats.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many marinas, there's so many boat slips around here, there's so many people staying on their boats, and in general you don't want to keep glass on your boat.
Yeah.
So yeah, we figured right off the bat canning was the way to go, over bottling, and we've stuck with it, and we've
plus
had a lot of good success.
Preservation
it.
Wise it's
right,
the better option.
No oxygen permeation,
absolutely.
no light, nothing,
tracking,
you know?
Nothing on there. So you're getting a fresh beer when you crack that thing open.
It's like a mini keg.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, we were talking off air a little bit. There's still a little, with a certain generations of craft beer buyers, there's still that stigma of cans.
Right.
Of there are people who will just not buy something in a can.
Right.
And I don't get that personally. They're right, but I don't get it because you're turning yourself off to a lot of different great beers. Just pour it into a glass. That's what my dad does. He doesn't like beer in a can. He can't drink straight from a can, but he'll pour it into a glass and be perfectly happy.
Right.
You know, you can enjoy things.
Right.
You know
exactly.
What I mean?
Exactly.
And so what would you say to people who still kind of have that little bit of a stigma about cans? What would you want to get out about canning to them so that they maybe.
I mean, like what we've already covered, you know, is that it's the best thing for a beer. You know, it's you have no oxygen permeation, no light permeation. It's as close to a keg as you can be, and a keg is as close to a fermenter as you can be. And if we're trying to put our beer into fermenters to make sure, you know, everything stays right in them. And then we want to put them into kegs or cans. I mean, it's take the advice from the guys that are doing it and that have a lot of passion behind their beer being displayed properly, and that's what we're doing is the cans.
And absolutely, and cans have also evolved a ton over the years to what they are now. So that, that you don't get that lingering, if there even was one. I don't ever remember necessarily tasting metallic stuff out of my beer, but that's just me. Cans nowadays, they have all this new technology and stuff to give the lining so that you don't get that. And you know, I think people don't necessarily always know that information. Make sure we want to get it out there, because definitely you guys got to try Catawba Island's beer.
Right, and you know, don't take my word for it. Take 100 other breweries that are canning their beer.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
I'm not sure there's more cans than bottles yet, but
it's
I'm sure it's coming.
The tipping point's coming.
Right,
absolutely.
Right.
So also, if you think about it too, the beer, even before it's beer, its entire life is spent in some kind of metal container. I mean, it's brewed, you know, in a kettle. It's sent into a fermenter. It's sent into a bright, which is sent into a keg, which then, you know, I mean, if you're worried about that metallic flavor, you should have been worried about it a long time ago.
that's a very good point. That's something not a lot of people actually bring up. Is the fact that it's been in metal the entire time.
Yeah, you don't look at a brew house and see big glass tanks everywhere. Right, you know, it's metal.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point that I didn't put two and two together on before. That's a really great point. Guys, I appreciate your time. Anything else you guys wanted to get out about the brewery, about the beers you guys have, anything like that?
We're less than 20 minutes west of Cedar Point. We are right, if you go to Put-in Bay or the Lake Erie Islands, we are a few miles from any of the ferries that'll take you there. Stop in, try the beer out, and come back again.
And the address?
The address is 2330 East Harbor Road. We are, it's actually Route 163. Oh, yeah, excuse me, 2330 East Harbor Road, Port Clinton, Ohio. it's Route 163. We're right between Port Clinton and Catawba, and it's a big building, giant front patio set off the road, and tons of good beer, live entertainment every weekend, and always a good time.
Open every day from Memorial Day to Labor Day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome, guys. I appreciate your time, and listeners, please come up here. Please check out the beer, if anybody wants to maybe order some beer from you guys or get it in their tap room.
Any questions or, you know, interested in sitting down and sampling with us to showcase our product at, you know, your location or your favorite place to drink, beer@catawbaislandbrewingcompany.com is an email address that goes to all of us. catawbaislandbrewing.com.
So, yeah. beer@catawbaislandbrewing.com.
That way you get the emails. I had something like that happen. I do another podcast, and the guy gave out the wrong Twitter handle and asked for. I was like, well, this is the actual Twitter handle, so we can actually get these. Guys, I appreciate your time. This has been a blast. I appreciate everything you've done, and thank you again. And I'll let you know when it's on.
Thanks for having us.
And thank you all for listening. And enjoy your day.